we're kicking off
the Rich Eisen Show.
Now. What are you waiting for, huh?
Have you got my money?
For Jalen Waddle now being the third highest paid receiver in the National Football League.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What the hell are the Dallas Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings waiting for?
What am I waiting for?
Earlier on the show, NBA on ESPN analyst Doris Burke, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, coming up, actor Jacob Batalon, and now... it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're so close to the first weekend in June, we can taste it. We got a lot going on here on this show. We just said goodbye to Tom Pelissero after a full hour in studio talking football, talking everything going on in the NFL world. I just had a very nice quick chit-chat with our next third-hour guest joining us, Jacob Batalon of Reginald the Vampire, which is on Sci-Fi. He's the executive producer of this show as well. Many of you know him as Ned Leeds in as Peter Parker's best friends in Spider-Man Homecoming, Spider-Man Far From Home, Spider-Man No Way Home. There's a lot of homes. You know, he's going to be joining us. He's a big NBA fan as well, so it'll be a nice chit chat with him coming up shortly. Also, there's a lot of work going on behind me for some reason. I don't understand. A lot of ladders being moved behind me, but that's okay.
Are they finally done with the fountain?
I have no idea. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of work here. A lot of work here. Doris Burke was on in hour number one. Great chat with Doris about last night's Mavericks blowout win to wrap up the Western Conference Finals, and the NBA Finals will begin next Thursday, June 6th. So smoke them if you got them. And there'll be no basketball just between chilling. Now and then. Yeah. We'll have to check out how the Stanley Cup Final winds up being filled up so Dallas can make it 2-for-2. Stars can get in the Stanley Cup Final and the Mavericks in the NBA Finals, which will mean there'll be lots of action down in the Metroplex. The New York Rangers lost at home last night. The Florida Panthers scored three unanswered goals and won that one last night.
I saw a great tweet yesterday. I don't know if it was from PFT or not, but sorry, TJ, this is going to be a shot at you. It would be hilarious if the Rangers win the Super Bowl, the Stars win the Stanley
the
Cup.
The World Series, right.
The World Series. The Stars win the Cup. The Mavs win the NBA title. And the Cowboys lose in the first round again.
He doesn't like it.
The Dallas trifecta.
He doesn't like it at all. That's a head shake. He's not even saying anything.
I mean, I was going to say it would be nice to have, you know, the football team in Dallas actually make it to a final. That would be, I mean, the baseball team's doing it, the hockey team, the basketball team.
Right now.
You know, I'm sure if they got an MLS team, they're probably making the final too. But those Cowboys, so.
Man, at the.
Land just a little bit.
ESPN showing some sound bites. I guess the Celtics meeting with the media today.
Celtics talk today. I've been watching Porzingis shooting videos on loop. From today,
I saw the Chiron at the bottom of the screen. Nice. Al Horford, 23rd NBA Finals game. He's going to be in. He's played in 22 NBA Finals games. Al Horford, how about that, Mavericks?
Really?
Yeah, like that's one of those. Huh? Okay.
Go Maz is the youngest coach to go to the finals since Bill Russell was player coach in the '60s.
So that's all next week. Just hold on to these facts because.
Yeah, we got a whole week.
Oh, my God. What are we going to talk about next week? We got nothing but time for that sort of stuff. You know? 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Glenn in Baltimore, Maryland. Glenn. Let's take your phone call. What's up, Glenn? Uh-oh. Somebody's backing up. Hello? Hey, Glenn, you're on the air. Glenn, be careful.
Hey, how you doing, Rich?
Glenn, are you the one backing up? Are you the one backing up, or is there another truck backing up in your area, Glenn?
I'm at work right now.
Okay, good. What's on your mind?
So my thing is, Chris, I love you. I love everything, Rich, TJ, everything.
What up, Chief?
My thing with Chris, this whole blowout compared to losing close, man, it makes no sense to me, Chris.
Well, talk it out. Why does it make any sense to you?
Sports is supposed to be like a roller coaster. You know what I mean, man? I need to ride that roller coaster. I need to go up and down. I don't want to get on a merry-go-round and just sit on a blowout loss. It's boring. It's sports is supposed to excite you. It's supposed to.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And
that's
if you
right.
can't take the loss.
It's about.
I just don't get that take.
Me
on
neither,
it.
Glenn. It's about experiences, is it not?
Yes, it's about going up and down. I want to ride that roller coaster. I want to go up. I want to go through the loops. hey, I don't even want to go through the water. I don't want to get on a merry-go-round.
You'd rather have a long, drawn-out death.
No, no, no. Listen, Glenn, are you a Ravens fan? Are you a Ravens fan?
Oh, sir. No, I'm a Steelers fan.
Okay. Look at a Steeler fan in Baltimore right now calling in from work.
Hey, now.
Thanks for the call, Glenn. Greatly appreciate you hanging on.
Hey, brother, was
Glenn calling in from the pier? Was he working with the Sabatkas? Season 2 of The Wire right there from Baltimore? Is that what he's doing?
Well done.
I'm rewatching The Wire, by the way.
Oh, you are?
Oh, season 2 is something. I'm on season 3 again.
Season 4 is the one, though.
Is that the one?
Season 4 is kind of.
I thought season dope. 3 is the ultimate.
And let's
winner.
Be honest, they're all dope.
I know they are all dope. Well, they want dope on the table in all seasons.
Hey, watch
you know
out
what
now,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know. Okay, listen. Something was said yesterday in a microphone by a major newsmaker in the sports world that just jumped off the page at me, and then I had our crack staff and crew get it from his press conference on video, and I want to play it here. And it involves Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, who I think should be commissioner of college sports and athletics. I don't know if he wants the gig. I don't think he really does. He's got a tough enough job running the SEC, but I think that's just the way it's going to go. We were on the air for two big moments. That's what I love doing this job every day, 12 to 3 Eastern.
It's a great time slot.
Okay, you know, it there's so
stuff,
much
stuff
hits.
Happens.
It does happen. And you know, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary this fall. We were on the air on April 18th, 2021, when from across the pond, the Super League was formed. Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
When a bunch of leagues in the top clubs,
top teams, yeah,
top clubs in European football decided to say, you know what? We're all fabulously rich and wealthy, and we have all sorts of issues financially that other clubs in our sports world do not have. We are separate in terms of history and also financial obligations and burdens. And we are going to do our own damn thing. And 2 days later, it was done because fans freaked out. Literally 2 days later, nine clubs that said that they were in on this Super League that I think was 15 clubs and was going to go to 20. Yeah, nine of them said we're out, including all six English clubs withdrew. Boom. Honestly, Super League lasted as long as Bill Belichick's tenure as head coach of the New York Jets.
It was a little bit longer.
Over. And on that day, we were just saying how remarkable that was and just wondering, could that happen in the United States? And I said, if there's any sport in the U.S., any league in the United States that could turn into the Super League, where a bunch of entities with their rich history and their also rich coffers and the financial obligations and burdens placed upon them are separate from the rest of the collective, and that they would decide to separate based on all of those dynamics, I said it would be college football and college sports. We were on the air on July 1, 2023. Okay? I believe that was the day when NIL was born. Name, image, and likeness was born. We were on the air the day it first became a reality, and we had guests on, and everybody is like, your guess is as good as mine on how this is going to play out. We have no earthly idea how it was going to bear fruit for players and what it would mean for a whole bunch of people in the sports world to try and figure this thing out. And sure enough, we're like, the NCAA is not going to handle it. And sure enough, we have seen over the now 2 years, if you will, to be correct, of NIL existing. We have now seen a whole different landscape. So different that the Heisman Trust said, let's give Reggie Bush his trophy
right?
back.
I mean, like,
what are we talking about? We're going to hold it from him when everybody's getting a piece now? Right? And it looks like there's a settlement coming in a class action suit where the NCAA and a bunch of conferences are going to wind up saying uncle and paying billions of dollars in past money owed and future monies owed to players.
Power Five. These athletes are going to be employees of the university.
So it's all coming, and it's all changing. And I'm just listening. My ears are wide open for this, just the slightest indication of the haves in college football saying the other schools and conferences that don't have the same financial obligations and burdens as us, they are part of the problem as we're trying to fix our problems of how do we codify name, image, and likeness? How can we make sure the players who are promised something get what they're promised so they don't wind up suing a member school like some kid is suing Florida right now in the SEC?
Yeah, for $13 million.
How do we make sure the kids aren't left in the lurch? How are we sure that everybody's playing at least on the level? How are we sure that the scheduling can be as on the level as possible? How can we make sure that transfer portal rules are something that our member schools that have all of the financial obligations and burdens and money coming in, that we can all play by the rules that we need? But the other schools don't have the same issues, and they're not as focused on these problems as we need to be to fix this damn thing, because what we're doing is not sustainable. We don't want to live life like this. Greg Sankey, wrapping up the SEC week of press conferences, their media week, on Thursday, had this to say when he was asked about the NCAA. And he talked about how back in January, there were weeks of meetings between the College Football Playoff Committee, commissioners' meetings, and NCAA committee meetings, all in advance of the College Football Playoff finale in Arizona. And he had this to say on the frustrations he had in these meetings as the commissioner of the SEC. Hit it.
There's times in the job when you're a bully and times when you need to be a statesman. And I try not to be a bully, really. But that day was enormously frustrating. It was enormously frustrating for several reasons. One, the NCAA is a committee nomination process, which says that I, as a commissioner, can go invite Oklahoma and Texas to join. I can sign media deals with Disney, but I can't decide who's on the Women's Golf Committee for my conference, who'd be the best representative. I think that illustrates part of the NCAA's problem. And so that day I raised the issue, and we argued about that for 40 minutes. That should have been a five-minute conversation to say, you know what? Conferences have a responsibility to contribute to diversity, fulfill it. If you don't, we'll have a catch-all system. But you as a member have the responsibility to appoint qualified members to our committees. I don't know why that's difficult for my colleagues. We then had a presentation on work of an NIL working group, and the opportunity was offered for questions, and I decided to just wait and see what people had to say. Nobody said a word. Nobody said a word. And I jumped in and basically said, you have to be kidding me. So I was a jerk. Okay? I was a jerk. And I try not to be a jerk all the time, or most of the time, but sometimes you have to be a jerk. That informs that January thought of you are not going to solve the big problems we face in big rooms filled with people. Mm-hmm. That's an opinion. I think that's a shared opinion. And I think that moment illustrated it for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, a few things. One. Remember back in the day when we had just the Rich Eisen podcast, Christopher?
I do.
Okay. TJ, we had, as an occasional guest, the brilliant director, Steven Soderbergh.
I heard this, yeah.
He told me that one day he was planning, if he ever wrote a memoir, the memoir would be called, Now You're Making Me the A-Hole. And I thought of that when I heard Greg Sankey say, now I'm a jerk. Sometimes I got to be a statesman. I was a jerk that day because they were making him the a-hole. What do I mean by that? He's sitting there in these meetings, and there's a name, image, and likeness presentation, and it was sent out to the collective group for questions. And he said, I was waiting to hear what others had to ask. Why do you think he did that? Because he probably wanted to hear what are their concerns and how do they match with his? So they maybe collectively they can get something done, or he's waiting to hear what their questions are. And if they are so patently in opposition of his interests or totally far afield of his interests, then he knows he also has a problem. But the worst thing happened. Nobody had any questions at all. And he's like, are you kidding me? And he's now thinking solving big problems in a big room isn't going to work. And that's a shared, it's an opinion, as he said, but a shared opinion. Who might share that opinion with him? Well, maybe the Big Ten, who also has a deal with, you know, NBC and CBS and so on and Fox. They have the same issues about NIL and everything else, scheduling, transfer portal, all of this stuff. And sure enough, you know what happened in February of this year? There was an announcement, a partnership with the Big Ten. Now, that's one way to put it, partnership. It's being called, I have it right over here, the Big Ten. It's like a working group where the Big Ten and the SEC announced that they're just going to have meetings with each other just to talk about stuff, problems, issues, and they'll bring some others in who might be needed. They're just going to talk about it. And apparently, this was born out of a phone call that Sankey made to Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti after this week in question. He's like, this week was so off the charts with these meetings, I'm calling up Tony. And he volunteered that later in the press conference.
So afterwards, traveling home, like, you know, we have some really big problems. And it didn't seem to me that we were working to solve some of the medium problems. And we weren't even talking in some of those rooms about the really big issues. And I have thought for a long period of time that if the two conferences could agree, that you could fulfill a leadership responsibility. Now, we have to do that with people. And that was the genesis of the phone call to Tony. We need to have more conversation, not less. And it's informed by the line that really came to me at the end of the week. This is not like a lightning strike moment, but the realization you're not going to solve the big problems in big rooms filled with people because the realities are so different across Division One. You know, I want to be clear. It's not an alliance. It's, you know, the ability for our leadership as presidents, chancellors, and athletics directors to work together through some of these important issues, and we hope draw people in as we work towards resolution of the challenges.
Draw people in. It's a joint advisory group. Will a joint advisory group lead to a Super League? It sure seems like it. Interestingly enough, Sankey said what is still connecting Division I sports together writ large, he mentioned it was the NCAA tournaments. He also said expanding the men's tournament is something he would be up for. And if you're sitting there thinking a 68 team field right now is enough, he pointed out right now NC State was an 11 seed that went on that magical run this year. He's basically saying what you're doing with that first four by having a 2 10 seeds play right. Each other is you're eliminating future NC States, so you might as well fill it up with more 15 and 16 seeds so those 10 seeds can play as a 7 seed or what have you against more like a 17 or an 18 seed or something like that. You can wind up expanding the field. So instead of eliminating NC State, you give them a chance to get in and play longer. which was one of the, I had the same thought as you did visually there, TJ. We're like, oh, okay, I get that. I see that. So it's kind of wild that basketball may continue this relationship, because you do need the smaller conferences to put their teams into this tournament. You do need that. I'm just wondering if in the football world, they're just going to separate because the big rooms are a big problem. And they don't have the same issues as the SEC and the Big Ten, who are in a joint advisory group right now to take these questions out of the big room and put it in a smaller room. And they'll draw some people in who might have similar issues and minds to approach it collectively in a more ideal manner. I'm telling you, it is happening. And I don't think it makes you the jerk, Commissioner Sankey.
Or the bully.
Or bully. I think what it does is, certainly if you're saying we're drawing people in, we want to have conversations, but those big rooms, they're driving me nuts. Can you imagine? I'm making deals with Disney, billions of dollars, and I can't put my own person on a certain committee because the NCAA is telling me this stuff. I don't need you. Get out of here.
Dismissed.
What are you doing? You're the weakest link. Goodbye. Yeah.
You are dismissed.
See ya. I'm telling you, it's coming. Question is when, not if. We'll take a break. Jacob Batalone is here. Let's chat with him.
Man.
He's got a gajillion followers on social media. So you should follow us next with him.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories, and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Jacob Batalone here on the Rich Eisen Show. It's funny you say, you're intrigued by the star of Reginald the Vampire, an executive producer. So you made the show about
I don't want to take a lot of credit for it. I feel like our producers and our directors really gave me the ability to really have a hand in the production side of it, which I fully regret. I feel like, as you know, it's difficult to produce something, it's given me a lot of stress, but a lot of good stress.
So let's jump into your career a little bit here.
Thank you.
So you are from this great state of Hawaii, correct?
Yeah.
Which island?
I was raised on Oahu.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you know you always wanted to be an actor?
I wanted to be like a singer, musician at first, and it wasn't really going too well. And I was very lucky to have been accepted into a drama school in New York.
Okay.
And at that
time,
in Manhattan, yes.
Okay.
And I was really lucky that I had a manager at the time who was willing to sort of work with me and put me through auditions and whatnot. And so through that, I kind of fell in love with performance and theater and whatnot. So that sort of birthed my career, but really, like, Spider-Man kind of came along through that.
So, you kind of yada, yada, yada'd the best part there, Jacob. give me the story, but with the through that to Spider-Man.
I was going to school and auditioning at the same time, and, you know, my drama school, they kind of preached not really auditioning while you're in school because you feel like you're going to be throwing yourself off. But I was kind of like, forget that. I'm definitely going to go and try it out. And, you know, Spider-Man kind of just came along kind of just on a whim. My manager got a project that was at the time called Untitled Marvel Project. And
by the way, that sounds great to begin with.
Really, seriously, like, I was just down for anything at this point. But me not really being like a... Marvel fan per se. I didn't have any idea what it was about.
Sure.
And my cousin, who's like a diehard Marvel fan, knew that immediately from the script that I was reading was like a high school kid and all these things. And the only high school character is like Peter Parker. So he kind of put two and two together for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like a few self-tapes. I did a screen test. I waited like a few months to hear anything back. I thought my career was over already. And
probably why the school doesn't want you to do that while you're going to school. Like,
yeah.
they don't want your desire and yes. your innocence to be just
taken away
right away.
Yeah. So. I was actually going on a few auditions before Spider-Man, and like, let me tell you, like the auditioning process is truly, it's soul sucking. You feel very like, man, is this worth my time? Am I really like for this and all those things? So
yeah.
that was kind of like already in my mind, but I luckily got the call, and I mean, now I'm sitting on your show.
so you send a tape in. That's basically
yeah.
it.
I mean, it's been self-tape has been a thing for a while, but it was really prevalent at that time. And you know, the casting director just sends you some sides.
Oh, right.
Send you some sides, yeah. and you kind of like go over it a few times, and you film yourself doing it, and then they kind of watch you, and then they kind of decide whether or not they want to see you again. So. It's kind of like online dating, but not in a good way.
I'm really impressed, obviously, by that story. So then when was the first time you realized that life was a little different for you?
I would say when I got flown out for a screen test. I was actually still in school, and they flew me out to Burbank to do a screen test with Tom. And at that time, I didn't expect anything out of this, truthfully. And that was probably the peak for me. I wasn't even worried about getting the job anymore. I just felt like this opportunity itself kind of gave me confidence. But it was after the screen test where it truly started to feel like maybe this is happening. And when I got that phone call that I was going to be in the movie, I swear to God, I felt like the world became more colorful. Like, it kind of just felt like...
You're from Hawaii.
Yeah, like, it already was like... I felt like flowers were, like, way more colorful than usual. So I feel like
I felt that way when Michigan won the national title this past year. So I know exactly. Wine, you know, the sun is brighter.
And wine tasted better for some reason. Yeah.
Still, by the way, it's almost been half a year. So I feel that way. That's pretty cool.
That's amazing.
And then... And then people started coming up to you on the street and stuff like that?
I think that part of it kind of wears down a little. I think the more you sort of start to work, the more you realize that you kind of just want job security.
Yes.
And then, like, the professional side kind of comes in, like doing appearances and, like, doing business meetings and all those things. And then you start to become, like, more professional. I air quote because I'm very not professional. I have, like, a whole team to make sure that I look professional.
Okay.
I think I'm still very happy, but I think I'm a little jaded in the way that I just want to work and feel productive in my life.
Sure, so, absolutely. Yeah. And obviously, you've achieved some remarkable success.
Thank you.
You know. Being an Endgame too, man.
Infinity it was a
War.
Crazy time, yeah.
I mean, so what was it like being on the set for those places?
Oh, you know, with like big movies like that, you know, things are filmed in different pieces and different times. So we'd actually filmed our scene together while we were doing Spider-Man Far From Home, like our second movie.
Yes.
And they kind of just like came in on our set and just was like, hey, we're going to do this right now.
Oh, so it's not like, okay, there's Robert Downey. There's all this. That's not how it works.
No, definitely not. No one's going to roll out a red carpet. They're just like, hey, be here. We're doing this right now. Yeah. And then we're done. So.
And all 90 A-listers will be here at the same time. No. That'd probably be difficult to get at the trains running on time and all that.
Absolutely,
see.
Yeah.
But that's all good.
It
that's
was
all
awesome,
fantastic.
For sure.
Fantastic. Yeah. Jacob Bottolone here on the Rich Eisen Show. So you are an NBA fan, correct?
I'm an NBA fan. NFL fan too, for sure.
All right, so then what are your teams from growing up in Hawaii?
You know, like a lot of people from Hawaii have like a lot of West Coast teams. So, you know, we're like into the Lakers, into the Raiders. I'm a Patriot fan.
You know. Okay.
My man.
How about that? Not far from home at all.
But I will also say that I definitely despise the Celtics, so...
We're best friends, and now it's tough.
You know the Lakers Celtic thing. You know
that was a quick dalliance between you and Jacob here. Like you, it's love at first sight.
I can do Patriots all day.
So, okay, I'll bite. What's so great about the Patriots that makes you despise the Celtics? I mean, you do realize geographically that makes no sense.
Same town.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I got into football actually through playing Madden, which is super random.
That makes total sense. It really does. I'm serious.
And my cousins were really into sports games, and so I kind of got into it through that. And at the time, you know, it was like Tom Brady's like first three-peat. So it was like him on the cover, like him, like the best stats on Madden.
Right.
And I just automatically wanted to like the best team. So that was kind of like the bandwagon in me.
Okay. So then where does your Celtics dislike come from?
It's like the story between like them and the Lakers, you know, like the storied franchises like Magic and Bird and all these things and like the championships and all like that stuff. But and also like Kobe's last championship against like the big three in Boston. Really, like, I remember being like, I was like 13 at the time in 2010.
Yes.
So I remember watching that out of middle school and like honestly on my knees almost crying, like, because I mean, they won before, but then in 08 when they lost to the big three, I just felt like so close but so far. And
dude, I get it. I've got a 13-year-old at home who roots for the Celtics, and you know, if the Mavericks wind up shocking, I'll have a 13-year-old at home and a 40-year-old it's at work who's going to be crying and depressed. They'll need a hug, you know what I mean? Man. So that's what's going to happen.
Not for nothing, I really really enjoy watching Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown play, for sure. But like, there's something about Luka, Magic, and like Kyrie, and it's actually been crazy to watch. I thought the Timberwolves were going to have like a full run, but it just, he wasn't going to let it happen last night.
Yeah, I thought Anthony Edwards, this was his time, obviously, when they they came back to from what appeared to be game over against the defending champs.
Yeah.
And then winning their game seven
was insane.
And the manner in which they did made it seem like that was it.
It just felt like it was his time, truly. But then I don't know, like, I know, like, y'all in the media with sports, so I just feel like this narrative about him kind of becoming the next face just kind of felt a bit premature.
So you think, let me just get this straight.
Yeah.
You think when we in the media talk about something too much, you have an aversion to it and say, that must not be right. I'm going to go the other way.
It just feels like, as a fan, I just feel like y'all would just calm down. No.
By the way, he's just like you. I mean, like, if he didn't say I hate the Celtics, the two of you would be just and we're all part of the same, you know, brotherhood. The same thing.
Truly, it's very interesting. But I get like the aspect, because we need storylines, and like sports, they just naturally make storylines for us to run off with. So I get it. But I just think like there's like a lot of people who definitely, I feel, deserve like that title before Anthony Edwards. Not to say that he won't be.
No, I know that. Yeah. Obviously, having the name Michael Jordan thrown around,
compared all the time, is like crazy, for sure.
I know. But I also know I'm speaking to somebody who just said that they were 13 in 2008. So, I mean, you must know Jordan from what, Space Jam? Is that where you know him from?
I actually know Jordan from, like, because obviously I was a Kobe fan, and so, like, he obviously modeled his game after Jordan, and, like, just, like, being a fan of Kobe, you're, like, a fan of Michael Jordan, like, immediately. But if you're a fan of, like, the NBA, you'd, like, know the legends regardless.
For sure.
And so, I think,
Jacob Bottolone here on the Rich Eisen Show. What will fans of yours get out of Reginald the Vampire, do you think?
I think they will get that. I mean, like, morally?
No.
like, I don't know how to...
Hold on a second. That was a poor phrasing on my part. My bad. I'm raising my hand like a foul. What are they going to get out of it? Enjoyment. No, fans of yours who know who you are and know your work and know your essence, what will they enjoy about Reginald the Vampire?
I think they'll enjoy seeing me sort of go through more than just being a funny person. We get to really explore like human aspects of being a vampire, if that makes any sense. I think it definitely, you sort of watch Reginald become more of a better human being by becoming a vampire. So that's a very interesting aspect. But you also watch him go through some crazy things, like trying to fight off angels and like making other vampires hopefully like him. It's very much a growing up story.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, it's on Wednesdays, 10 Eastern on Sci-Fi. Yeah. You're an EP on this program as well.
Yeah.
And I'm just, you know, it's so nice to have you on this program.
Thank
and
you
to,
so much.
And to meet you, man.
I appreciate it, man. It's truly like such an honor to be here, Rich. I did not expect to be here today, truly.
What are you talking about?
Did they just tell you
today that you were on the show?
Like, sorry, that was poor phrasing on my part. But genuinely, sometimes when I do like shows and whatnot, I'm a big fan of like things like this. So like when I'm doing it myself, it's kind of like a full circle moment. And like when I do like a talk show, for example, sure. I love watching celebrities do that stuff. And when I'm on it, I'm not a celebrity. So like when I feel like I'm doing it, it feels very like surreal. So like to be here has truly been so great.
I appreciate you saying
that.
Of
course, man. Thank you.
But what do you mean you're not a celebrity?
I don't know if I'm like the typical like
dude. How many Instagram followers do you have? TikTok. How many on TikTok?
I'm not on TikTok. I'm thankfully TikTok. Off the wave of TikTok. I feel like if I did get it, I'd be on it 24/7 and you'd never see me.
But what about IG? Don't be humble.
I actually don't know.
1.6 million.
Okay, that's a lot. Like, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
That's a metric. I would call that.
I agree. I just really don't like thinking of myself that way.
Well, yeah. Too late.
Damn it. I'm trying hard to be humble. It's not working.
No, it's fine, but that's cool. It's all good. But no, but that means you don't forget your roots.
Oh, thank you,
man. You don't forget your roots. You know where you're from. You know what you've done to get here to this point in time in your career.
Thank you.
And, and thank you for being here.
No, thank you so much for having me again.
You got it. Jacob Batalone is here. Everybody should check out Reginald the Vampire, airing Wednesdays, 10 Eastern on Sci-Fi. Come back whenever you're out here on the
Please,
left coast.
I absolutely will. And I'll definitely talk way more Patriots, for sure.
I know. That's right. Honestly, right?
We were so close to being best friends. It was like, we had like 10 seconds.
Just cut out the I hate Celtics like, for life. So but it's just like...
We'll lift that.
Yeah.
But just for this year, you should just probably enjoy your Patriot fandom through Madden.
For sure. It'll be a long time.
Just like this
stretch.
Year, we're going to have a top five pick again this year, and then we're going to be good. Like,
hold on a minute.
2026.
Let's do this.
I'm not going to talk about it.
Can you put the Patriots schedule
up?
Let's do this.
We do something, Jacob, called the win-loss game here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, no. Okay.
Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter.
Okay. No, for sure. I'm down to see.
Because we're not going to hold you to it. All right? It'll just be out there. We may put it on Instagram and ask you for a collaboration. Don't worry about it. So here's the deal.
And
we'll see if you get this right.
Okay.
There's no such thing as right. But here we go.
Yeah.
Jacob Batalone is going to play the win-loss game. Can we get the music here before we send him out the door?
Yes, sir.
The Patriots 2024 schedule.
Oh my God.
Come on. Are you ready here?
Yes.
Okay.
You know what to do.
We'll see. The New England Patriots, you just tell me win or a loss.
Yeah.
At the Cincinnati Bengals to start the season.
I mean, if Joe Burrow's playing, I mean, it's definitely a loss.
Okay.
No doubt about
Home for the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, wow. That's definitely a loss. I can't even lie with that. Okay. That's a loss for sure.
Now, I don't know if you're going to be at this game since you live in the city of New York
at
the Jets on a Thursday night. What do you think?
One of my good friends is a Jets fan. Honestly,
so is Rich.
I want them to lose, but it depends if Aaron Rodgers is gonna like not think, hopefully to get injured
Jacob,
again.
The Jets.
We own the Jets.
I will
put confidence in this. I'll say win.
Yes,
I'll say
my
win.
Man.
Excuse me.
Do not
sorry. Influence
lead
the pick.
The jury. And the witness. That's witness tampering.
All right, my bad. Sorry.
Stop it. Be quiet.
Oh my God, 49ers. That's definitely a loss. We got to go for that.
All right. So 1-3 home for the Dolphins.
That's definitely a loss. All right. I can't say
1-4 home for the Texans.
Oh, that's a loss for sure. I can't
1-5 at the Jacksonville.
I'll give us London.
This is in London.
I'll give us that one. That's a win for
All
us.
Right.
I can see that.
2-5 home for the Jets.
For home for us, I would say win again.
So you're gonna sweep the Jets.
I would say so.
Breaking out the broom, baby.
All right. 3-5 at the Titans.
I would give us a good chance with that. I'll say yes.
Okay.
Three-game win streak.
Oh my goodness gracious! 4-5 at the Bears.
I would say win.
We are on fire.
Just the
playoffs.
Come on,
we got this.
Oh my God. Drake May!
5-5, it's home for the Rams.
It definitely ends up.
All right, that's a result. That's a loss. Yeah, that's, for sure. That's such a bummer.
Back to
5-6 at the Dolphins.
I can't say what
reality is setting
it's
in.
Hitting. It's hitting.
5-7, home for the Colts.
I could see us going that way. I went unregistered. Sure. I could see us going that way.
6-7 into the bye, off the bye at the Cardinals.
Yeah, I could see us winning that one for sure.
7-7 at
now
the Bills.
Now we're talking.
No, definitely not the Bills. No, definitely not the Bills.
7-8 home for the Chargers.
We might lose the rest of the way. Yep. I feel like
7-9 and 7-10 home for the Bills. Okay.
I think we're definitely losing.
All right. Look at us playing the Bills.
7-11.
It's a lot better.
7-10. Sign for that.
I would sign that off for sure.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Thank you.
Saying his Patriots go 7-10.
Oh my God, I'm gonna
don't
get
worry,
murdered.
Don't worry. We won't talk about that every day. Good to see you.
Thank
Good
you so
see
much.
I'm going to check out Reginald the Vampire airs Wednesday 10 Eastern on Sci-Fi. We'll wrap up this show and send you to your June weekend in a moment. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Dennis in Long Beach has been hanging on for well over an hour. What's up, Dennis?
Happy Friday, guys.
Thanks, Dennis.
I think Brockman is just missing out on sports because he wants to guard himself from hurt. I mean, as a Philadelphia sports fan, first of all, there's Joe Effing Carter from the World Series. We had the holding call in the Super Bowl, Kawhi's four bouncer shot. Those are the games that stick with me, that make me, it's just, they kind of galvanize you as a fan for the next time. I mean, for better or worse, it's like taking your wedding vows, and, you know, it's the hard times that make you really, really appreciate the Super Bowl wins, the World Series wins, the Stanley Cup. So, Brockman, get some heartbreak in your life, enjoy sports, and live fully. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you, Dennis. Dennis hitting and running.
Excuse me. Can I remind everyone what a New England sports fan was like before 2001?
You have enough. You have heartbreak. You have heartbreak. You have heartbreak. You've got a lot of heartbreak.
So what
come on, but not recent. We don't care. Not recently.
Absolutely, he's got recent heartbreak.
Celtics were up 2-1 on the Warriors just 2 years ago.
Bro, you won six Super Bowls, okay? Like, about seven, because Brady's still your guy.
Yeah, but then he wants a seventh.
Well, he got seven.
By the way, I do not subscribe to the "you've had enough winning, so you can handle the tough losses." Tough losses are tough, no matter what. You know, I mean, losing to Dennis's Philadelphia Eagles in that Super Bowl, losing to Eli. I mean, the helmet catch, even amongst some of the greatest moments in the history of the Patriots, that helmet catch is brutal.
To quote the scapegoat Jack Perry, cry me a river over here.
I understand what your two cents are on that. But heartbreak is still heartbreak. But heartbreak is also what makes you a sports fan. You're alive. You're not just sitting there saying, I'd rather avoid that heartbreak and just make me completely dead inside and turn something off in the first quarter.
The problem with you just brushing my feelings aside and my about this is because you're not understanding my reasoning.
How am I brushing your feelings aside? I just said that it doesn't matter how many you've won.
Yeah, but you call me an idiot for the way that I feel that
way. I never said you're an idiot.
I mean, you implied.
I never called you an idiot.
Here's the deal.
Bald bastard.
Because when you're that close, you have to all think about it forever. We were that close.
So what?
When you get blown out, you just know you're not
that close.
Again, you're not letting me finish, so I'm going to stop talking.
No. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm done.
Go ahead. No, seriously.
No, seriously. I'm done.
Dude, what he's saying is this. When you get blown out, right, you're resigning the fact that you've lost. The game's over. When it's close, you're going to replay, if they would have just made that layup, or if this guy wouldn't have got beat on this pat.
Yes. Like,
every little thing, you're going to nitpick to the end of time. So it's almost easier to accept when the game's a blowout.
I totally understand what he's saying. I know what he's saying. I know he's saying a Saints fan would rather have just gotten blown out in Minnesota rather than have the Minnesota miracle happen. And a Saints fan would have rather have been blown out at home by the Rams rather than have some awful pass interference non-call stick in their craw the rest of their lives. That's what he's saying. And I say that I disagree with that. Should we stop putting words in your mouth, or are you ready to talk again?
No, we can move on.
We can go home now?
We can go home now.
Here's a little Buffalo Bills Adam Schefter like news.
Hold on, before you get to Ready, Set, Griddle this grilling season, folks. Get the Weber State rust-resistant griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. Their griddle heats evenly edge to edge, and it heats up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works prep, cook, and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up with your new Weber Slate rust resistant griddle. TJ, you said what?
Adam Schefter just dropped some news. Gable Steveson, who is probably the best Olympic heavyweight right now in the world
at wrestling,
yeah. Former gold medalist. He was with the WWE for a few years. They had him sign to a contract, didn't work out. He got out of it. He is now a member of the Buffalo Bills, so he's going to continue that tradition of,
is that right?
Football, yeah. Players switching to football. You know, we had the great Carlton Hasselrig, who played for the Steelers, who was an outstanding wrestler for Pitt Johnstown.
Oh, Bill Goldberg played for the Falcons.
Well, I'm talking like college wrestlers that became football players, like your guy Stephen Neal. From the Pats.
Being the low man in terms of leverage and getting in the mix, that's what defensive tackles are all about.
Yeah, he's built like Aaron Donald.
They were hoping he'd be the next Kurt Angle, but he's got a chance to be the next, like you said, Aaron Donald. He's incredibly powerful. Nimble. Cool. He's light on his feet. He's got great footwork. Like, this could work out.
That's awesome.
Now we know why Sean McDermott was sweating throughout his entire interview with us yesterday. He probably just got off the mat with this guy.
Yeah. McDermott, former...
Yeah.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker, although I didn't really work with her a lot, but Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah, should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a 3-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord, we get it, they have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.